and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner. Hello, and welcome to the Computer Game Show. My name's David Turner, and I'm here with Sean Bell. Matt Murray.
Hello.
And James Farley.
Oh, yeah, hi.
I think we should probably go to follow up straight off the bat there, Matt.
Yeah, Gavilar tweeted in, Gavilar2505, see, the person that spent the entire podcast of the Computer Game Show battering the keyboard, there's a special place in hell for you. Robotic Monkey came in with, to blame the typist or the editor? Which, I mean, I edited last week, Robotic Monkey.
So blame the typist, like...
Blame the editor. Well, what can I do? As if I'm going to take out everyone else, there's 500 of them.
Can I just say, when James and I had this argument, right, neither of you two jumped in. Neither of you defended me in the exact same argument. Now it's all like, well, yeah, of course you blame the person making the noise. You don't blame the editor. At the time, Sean just crawled into a hole and Matt, you know, did his normal flip-flop self. So, you know, why is it all so straight down the line now?
I thought I was being quiet with my typing. Apparently I wasn't. I apologise.
What were you typing? What were you doing?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Now we've spoken about this, haven't we, Sean? You should probably, you know, pay attention on the show rather than the typing. I don't know what you're doing.
If the problem is with my incredibly high level of banter I bring to the show, then that's we can discuss that. We can reset for that discussion.
Based on this moment here, Sean, it's not a high level of banter. So where are we going with this?
I feel like there's no evidence that the typing is actually disrupting my ability to co-host an excellent podcast.
It was disrupting the listeners' ability to hear the show, though.
Well, without... you know, that's there.
See, I'll tell you what also annoyed me was the fact that everyone assumed it was me.
Like, yeah, just, that was brilliant.
What was the result of the poll, Matt? Can you check that while we continue
yes.
for a bit?
Well, we had 92 replies to the poll. The poll being, someone could clearly be heard typing during this week's show, and for that we can only apologise, but who do you think was to blame? Now, we had 92 replies.
Fourth to first.
Yeah, 92 replies. 11% was four for David. David was fourth.
They know I'm a professional.
Yeah. They also know that you can barely type as well. So.
Yeah, it would be a lot slower.
It's a good point.
Third place with 14% was me.
Again.
I mean, there's literally no Ev for that, but whatever. the next two, Sean and James, were neck and neck for a long time, and then Anand Pill eventually twigs. But in third place with 34% was James.
Oh,
now,
really?
The first few tweets were like, her typing, I can't wait to hear what James's excuse was, or is going to be, sorry. And then in 41% was Sean. So Sean, listeners correctly decoded and worked out it was Sean.
That's funny because I last time I looked, James was way out in front.
I was. I mean, at one point, I had like 46% of the vote or something. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I really think James saw that. He knew like the poll was counting. It's like a 3-day poll. It was counting down. He just got everyone in his family email, please vote for Sean. I can't lose this again.
I was looking at James pulling out in front. I was like, I might go out and do a murder. Everyone will just blame James. It's fine.
Here's a question. What are you doing on your computer that you can't do on your phone?
It's just easier on the computer, isn't it?
Just use your phone. Then no one hears anything, do they?
No. I genuinely thought I was being soft with my little baby fingers.
How could you possibly think you were being quiet? Like, honestly, fuck me. It was like, ridiculous. How could you possibly be sitting in a room with that typewriter and think, oh yeah, I'm keeping discreet.
Maybe some of it does come back to the editing, but...
Sean, it was like the short of Murder, She Wrote. I couldn't take that off. I could not. No chance.
Matt, don't take it, Matt. Don't take that line down. Now you're in the hot seat with the editing. You can understand what I have to go through every fucking week now, right?
Well,
I say
edited.
Every week. I haven't done for that one for the past couple of weeks.
Actually,
I'm not
you're not doing this one either. So, Matt, type away, and then we'll call it even.
Okay, then. Actually, Dave, I was going to mention that. You made a few editing mistakes recently, but what listeners don't know is you've actually been taken off editing duty, haven't you? you know, because of those mistakes.
I mean, I haven't been taken off editing.
Well,
when was the last time you edited?
That's what I thought it was because of the mistakes. I thought we'd agree.
Yes, because you're not in the sort of internal discussions about what the podcast is doing and where it's heading, James. We try and keep you away from that. Because we don't need someone going, well, it's shit, isn't it? It's dead. The podcast is dead. Get rid of it.
All I heard was Matt saying, get him off there. You know, like doing it.
Yeah. Well, mistakes were made. Anyway, to move on.
Matt, are you volunteering to edit now from now on? Because actually, I'm bang up for that. Sounds good to me.
Nah, it was good last week and it is really well edited, but I'm not going to do it every week.
So after this week,
I think James should edit.
I don't trust him with that whatsoever. Remember, we've got Capone Adam on the subs bench. We can always use him. Yeah. Anyway, follow up. What else have we had?
Andy Palmer. I mean, a lot of people were saying it was definitely James. Andy Palmer on Twitter said, always Sean. So Andy knew the score. Nick Parton said, I think it was Sean because when he spoke, it sounded the same volume and place in the stereo field. Hashtag detective shit. So Nick Parton was on there. He knew exactly what was happening. Nice. Super Mario 83, Dewey, loads of other people were pissed off at Sean.
Can I give a bit of editing feedback, actually? Something I picked up on, not last week's show, the week before. Sean, do you do that thing where you have someone slightly louder in one ear and slightly louder in the other ear?
Yeah, I pan it out a bit, yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. People listen with one headphone. It's a fucking nightmare.
Why do people do that? No, people who do that can fuck off. They're not welcome.
Right, okay. I do that. So so you're doing it, all right?
Yeah, you're not allowed to listen to your own show, mate. You don't deserve it.
All right, I won't listen this week. Fine. Quite happy with that.
He has to pretend he's working. He does that thing where he's like leaning his hand on the desk, you know, with his hand over his ear, and he's listening to it and pretending he's working.
Well, oh man, shit, did you use... Oh, I fucking forgot all about that. Well, you had the wire running up your arm.
Yeah.
And then you had the little headphone in your hand.
Yeah.
And you'd lean on your desk. Yeah, fuck, I did that. Wicked. Oh, they had no idea. Yeah. Not I failed every single test. Right, okay, go on. Matt, let's keep it rolling.
On the subject of me muting the Apollo Justice game for iOS and not listen to music, listen to podcasts instead. Podcharger says, I feel like I'm losing precious listening time if I'm not listening to Audible or podcasts whilst gaming. Now,
yeah. Okay, but there has been other feedback. There's been other feedback. There was emails regarding this as well, though, that have a different opinion.
Well, should we get into them now?
All right, well,
go
to read
to
it?
That one, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, do you want to read it? Okay, let me just bring it up.
Because it is mad. It is insane. When I listen to it back, if you isolate James's audio, it's the funniest fucking thing ever. But he's got a point. Like, that is an insane way to play a computer.
That's the only game I've ever done it. And actually, I thought it was really common. I thought loads of people did it. And I always thought, how can you play a game with no sound? But for this, it's like, you know, just text, isn't it? So it's fine.
Anyway,
what's the feedback?
Okay, let's just not get into this again because it's really annoying me again. But anyway, okay, so this is the email. It says, first off, I just want to say I agree with James on Matt's shocking behaviour. Not only is the music in Ace Attorney games some of the very best around and a huge part of the enjoyment, but I don't see how he can read a text-heavy game and pay attention to a podcast at the same time. Surely one or the other must be getting insufficient attention.
Point of podcast. The podcast is typically in the background.
May I ask a question, Matt? Are you still playing the game?
No, of course not.
See, there you go! I knew that would happen.
What, are you saying if I listen to music, I'll still be playing the game?
You might be, because you might have been bothered to immerse yourself into the actual, into the game, rather than just be just give it a go, you know.
I love the way James said immerse then. He sounded like Stewie from Family Guy. you might have immerse yourself. yeah, Matt, that is, I mean, what next? I mean, what podcast do you listen to when you listen to podcasts? That's what I want to know. Listen to two at once?
Yeah, when I listen to a computer game show, I listen to Interface.
Don't do that. Jesus. Ooh. I mean,
we need to do a Death Stranding trailer thing where they synchronize if you listen to them at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, God. Right, okay. Yeah. What else we got?
Steve Shaw, 83, says, pro tip, use Discord instead of Skype for the voice chat. We should have done that.
I'd be well up for that. We use it for Midnight Resistance now. It's much better.
Oh, really? Is it much more reliable?
It's just nicer to use in general. It doesn't give you, 2 years' worth of people's birthdays every time you open it.
Oh, God, yeah. I hate all that shit.
It's just really nice.
speaking of the noise Farley make made, Chris Band tweeted in, the noise Farley makes at 1742 in the new computer pod made me laugh out loud while I was walking the dogs. So
it's very good.
I looked at that and I couldn't find it. Like 1742.
Because it wasn't 1742. It was about unshipping. It wasn't on my podcast.
Okay, well, he told me about it and I found it, so...
It was about a minute later when we started talking about... I'm assuming he's talking about when we started chatting about Virginia. And James goes to say that, and I cut him off, and he goes, "Oh,
yeah, that's
wrong.
I don't remember
that. That was like a minute later. Or
okay, whatever it is, just isolate the audio, Sean, and bang it in now.
Hold on, do you use that thing where it cuts the silence down between, like, you know, there's some options on all podcasts. You used to though, right? Didn't you, Matt?
No. On my podcast player, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you guys are using that, and that's why it's coming up early. I don't know.
No.
I don't understand people. Let's not
fall out about it.
No. Sean has just spent 6 hours trying to find the sound and put it in here. Anyway, Gavlar, interested to hear on Computer Game Pod that Sean chucked last to us at the same point that he's at. He's just not getting on with it at all. But Gavlar, if you're listening, just get on with it. And Sean, you too.
Don't take me giving up on it at the same point as any kind of vindication. Like everyone else said, it's incredible. So don't listen to me.
Did Matt? Did you feel the same way as I did when, like, what I said to Sean about everything up to that bit? I mean, it's not bad. It's just not great. And then it starts taking off.
I didn't like that whole thing at all. Cause it just felt really fake, and suddenly it's like a boss battle. It just felt really out of place. But
I
do remember the start being a bit slow. But after that, it kicks on. It's great.
Yeah, it flies off that.
Boy Champagne Jr., have any of you nerds played Metal Warriors on the SNES? It's like a 2D Titanfall 2 with local multiplayer.
How is this follow-up? This just sounds like emails now, Matt.
Because it's follow-up to Titanfall 2. Anyway, the other bit of follow-up is...
What this is Matt saying, yeah, it's a follow-up to the Titanfall 2 discussion that we had last episode and will not be repeated. Therefore, it's a follow-up.
So let's just part this bit now. You know, just get it out of the way.
The last few feedback is when people thought that the Computer Game Show Twitter account had been hacked. I also thought it had been hacked, and I started weeing myself because I was like, they're going to take the precious Twitter account. Dave, do you want to explain?
Well, so what happened, right? I went out most of last weekend and I was absolutely shattered. Then I recorded last week's show, which went until late. So again, just not catching up on my sleep. Then I went, it was my work Christmas party on a Tuesday fucking evening, and I got home at 1. That night, what was it, Wednesday night, I saw people complain about the download speeds, and honestly, we're really sorry about that. There's literally not much we can do about that until we start looking for a new host, and we will be working on that in the new year for sure. And that's what I was trying to say, but I was just... I mean, I can't type for shit at the best of times, but when I've had about 4 hours sleep, like, I was even worse. And I read back on what was going on. Like, I read back my tweets, and I was like, what? Did none of this make sense? And I noticed that Sean had said, Matt, what are you doing, mate? Are you drunk? And I just thought, brilliant, Sean thinks it's Matt. So then I tweeted from my own account, Matt, come on, sort it out. And then I deleted the tweets. And then I fell asleep and woke up an hour later to see you having a meltdown in the WhatsApp group. I've got to change the password. We've been hacked.
And I was like, but Matt, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I was like, is Matt losing his mind? Like, is this... Like, he's made some subpar tweets and now he's blaming a hacker for it.
Yeah, because I had some... I'll tell him. I had some DMs from Sean going, yeah. Right, can we just agree that Matt is lying about us being hacked?
I really thought that you, assumed I was lying just because there were some random tweets. And I thought, how? Have I scheduled something? What's gone wrong? It read like a tweet was sent before, and I was like, was there something in my drafts that I'd sent accidentally?
I knew you wouldn't have as well, because I know, like, it's your whole deal, and I knew you wouldn't have written them, but also, like to me, it was like, well, what other explanation was there? Like,
it was Dave.
And then fucking Dave's like, oh, yeah, sorry, I've been asleep.
Tired tweeting.
Sorry,
never
about
do
that
again. Anyway, that was feedback.
But yeah, while we're talking about Titanfall, should we just get this out of the way? Just get a quick 2 minutes of Titanfall chat.
Hang on. Before that, just if you want to send us feedback or any follow up from this show or any other shows, tweet us at ComputerGamePod or email thecomputergameshow@gmail.com.
Does that mean I don't have to say that again later?
No, of course I'll say it later. When we're reading the emails. Come on.
You have to keep plugging it. Sean, those games we had on Titanfall on Saturday were fucking superb. And
yeah, mate.
After having a complete freak out since the update that maybe they'd kind of ruined it a bit because I couldn't do all that, all of a sudden I was just absolutely smashing it again. I fucking love it every second of it. That game, Sean, that game. Right, okay, that's all I needed to say unless you wanted to add anything, Sean.
Just everything you said, basically. No, I mean, it's different for me because I don't use cloak, so I wasn't really... I mean, they've nerfed my favourite gun, but that just means I'm trying others out and having fun doing that. Also, it was double XP weekend, and it turns out I fucking love that. Like, yeah, you feel like you should be above, but there's any numbers in it, who gives a shit? And then every match, you're like, fucking look at them bars go up, fucking hell.
Yeah, I know, you said to me, Dave, I've leveled up 7 times tonight, mate. Some sort of crack addict.
Another bit of follow-up. A genuine bit of follow-up. Athene Allen said that one thing we didn't talk about in the Game Awards is we didn't actually mention the new Zelda footage.
Oh, yeah.
We totally missed that.
I didn't see any of it, that's why.
Zelda looks good.
It does look good, does it?
Does look very, very good.
Looking forward to it. We have a very special show for you next week. It's not a normal computer game show. We have our Game of the Year show, and we've all decided that we're not doing our own Game of the Years. We're going to decide together what, as a podcast, what is our Game of the Year. And, there's only one way of doing that, and that's to take the best games of this year and face them off against each other, see which ones are the best, vote on them. So here's how it's going to work, right? Right now, on this show, we're going to have a Game of the Year draft. We've got to come up with 16 titles between the four of us, and next week we take the 16 titles, put them in pairs, face them off against each other. The first round, we'll probably be talking about each game as they come round, you know, like what we liked about them, what works, blah, 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 blah. Then there will be a round of voting. If it's, whatever the score is, after, because I've thought about this some more, I haven't told you boys about this. After the voting, there's an appeals, so you can appeal. So if it's 3-1, that one can appeal, or anyone can appeal the decision, right? But that can fail. You might stick with your votes, you might change or whatever. But at the end of the match, the face-off, there must be 3 votes for one, at least, and 1 vote for the other. And the one with the 3 votes gets pushed on to the next round, and so on, until we just have one game left. That's the way we're going to do this. But right now, we need to pick the games. So I thought we'd do a classic drafting thing. We've all got a few games in front of us that we want on that list of 16, and I think I'm going to give James the honour of mentioning his first game. James.
Okay. Okay, well, the first game I'm going for is Doom.
Doom.
Yep.
Doom's on there. We don't have to go into it. We could just list the games. Matt?
Inside.
Inside, okay. Sean?
The Witness.
Oh, well, good God. Fuck. Okay, The Witness. Fine. Ooh, I expect quite an early exit from the tournament for The Witness. But there you go. Tickety Boo Tights is my choice there. Titanfall 2, obviously. Can't do the 2-year-old version. Right, James?
Okay, Paper Mario Color Splash.
Ooh, another early exit.
Oh, that
exit
was one of mine.
Okay, Splash. Okay, Matt, 6.
Res Infinite.
Oh, that was on my list. Mine. Yeah. That is a good one.
See, I wanted to put that on my list, but I knew.
7. Yeah. Sean.
Monster Hunter Generations.
Ooh, wow. You know when on the X Factor someone gets the over 30s?
Yeah.
That's Sean's group.
Look, what's the point in me being here if I'm not going to pick shit like that?
Right. I'm going with, for number 8, Trackmania Turbo.
Oh, that was on my list.
Nice.
That's on there. 9, James.
Watch Dogs 2.
Okay. And Matt, we're going for number 10 now, mate.
Uncharted 4.
Uncharted 4. And what's your name, Sean?
Hitman.
Hitman. Okay. All right. So next one that I've got on my list that hasn't been mentioned is Far Cry Primal.
Deep cut.
It is a deep cut, and I've not got much hope for it, but it deserves it because it was fucking fantastic. James Farley. James Farley. Number 13. James Audio Podcast.
I'm a bit torn to go with which one to go for.
What's the total number? How many are we drawing?
16. So this is our last pick each.
Okay, I'm going to go for Virginia.
Fucking hell.
Oh, I forgot that one.
Sutton United in the third round. Go on. 14, Matt.
Oh, got a lot here. 14. I'm going to go for... Oh, fuck.
That's not a game.
No, it was. It was on Mac. In the title. Oh, bollocks. Okay, I'm going to go Batman VR.
Oh, fuck off.
I had to get one VR game. Title. A what?
God, 15.
Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh,
my God. I knew you guys were.
Wow, you have gone for a weak group. Right, okay. Or Hyper Light Drifter, as I've written down because I can't type.
Can I change one of mine? Is this a point where we review our groups and then we have to make last minute changes? Yeah, it probably is. That sounds like saying you're doing X Factor.
I guess we could do that.
Right, start with James's.
I know what's going to happen.
Whoa, I've still got another vote. And mine's going to be Battlefield 1. Okay. So that's my last shout. Okay, fine. So, what, Matt, who are you thinking about switching out?
Well, I think let's just go around the groups and then each one of us can potentially switch one if we want.
Go around the groups.
It's like that chairs challenge on X Factor.
Well, look, here's the games that we've got, right? Number one is Doom.
Shall I be writing this down?
I'm writing it down.
Oh, good, good.
One is Doom. What, you think I just remembered this? One is Doom. Two is Inside. Three is The Witness. Four is Titanfall 2. Five is Paper Mario Color Splash. Six is Res Infinite. Seven is Monster Hunter Generations. 8, Trackmania Turbo. 9, Watch Dogs 2. 10, Uncharted 4. 11, Hitman. 12, Far Cry Primal. 13, Virginia. 14, Batman VR. 15, Hyper Light Drifter. 16, Battlefield 1. So I'm guessing you were torn because you were thinking about putting Dishonored 2 on there, James.
I was, yeah. It was either that or Virginia, but I thought I'd go with Virginia because it's something a bit different.
Wow. I mean, that is fucking...
I know what you're going to do. You're going to put it up against Titanfall 2, aren't you?
No, what I'm hoping to do is get hold of a one of those, you know, those bingo, home bingo kits, and draw them out of a hat, like on the FA Cup third round draw or whatever. So, number one. Oh, that's Trackmania Turbo. We'll do all that sort of shit, fingers crossed.
Okay, can I switch one of mine?
Well, what do you want to switch?
I want to switch Batman.
Good. Well, then you can definitely switch it, yeah, sure, why?
Well, I want to switch you with Pez.
Oh, that's a good shout. That nearly went on my list, actually.
I think all of us can have one switch.
I don't want to switch, I don't think.
I think we have to have a switch.
The only one that I've got down on my list that didn't make it was Forza Horizon 3. But having played many, many hours of that game, I think I'm kind of happy to say that's... I preferred 2, which I think is a controversial opinion. I don't know. It's just the progression through 3 is just nowhere near as good as 2. But, you know, the setting's better, but I'd rather have the sort of the way that 2 set up.
Had loads on my list. I didn't get it.
Which ones?
Firewatch?
That wouldn't have made my... Yeah, that
okay,
didn't... It was going to until, like, the last half hour or so.
The Deus Ex Go on mobile. That was really good.
I don't know.
Forza Horizon 3.
Yep, that's... I mean, I just said that, yeah.
Yep, Thumper.
Not for me.
And No Man's Sky.
Lol. No one else want to switch them, so this is locked in now, yeah?
No, I've got conviction, mate. I'm all right.
You've got... Okay, cool. All right, well, there are our games then. Next week is our Game of the Year show, and it will be one of those 16 games. Join us. But for now... Matt, you went crazy on Twitter and did something that you didn't even ask us about before you went ahead and did, and asked Twitter a question. What was that question?
Well, I knew we were deciding our own drafts for Game of the Year, but I wanted to find out what people's underrated games of the year was.
And, yeah, but now we've basically got just a massive list of games. It's like,
well, okay, well, I mean, it'd be interesting to see which ones we played in that, and if we've got anything to say on them, because it was actually quite interesting, because a lot of games come up there, and I just thought, oh shit, yeah, yeah, no, I forgot about that one, but yeah, which ones were mentioned, Matt?
I mean, Chazzy started off with Trackmania Turbo, and that is such a, it's such an amazing game, Trackmania, but yeah, it felt like no one was really bothered about
it. Well, this is the thing, it's because you start dealing with people's different definitions of underrated, don't you? It's like, often their games are actually reviewed really well, it's just that no fucker bought them.
Yeah, that's so true. James came over to my house on Saturday night, and I stuck Trackmania Turbo on, and it was one of those games where I just thought, ah, he's not really going to like this, but you seemed to really like it, James.
I did, I thought it was great. Yeah, a lot of fun.
He said to me, like, I was telling him about the online stuff, and how you can create, you know, private, like, sort of battles and then have them last over a week and stuff like that. And he was like, yeah, that sounds amazing. And I said, yeah, that's what I wanted to do with Sean. But he lasted about one race and just went, no, I'm going to play something else now.
No, I lasted three, and you won all of them. So that's why that got bent.
Yeah. It's just a
no, we should,
loser.
But I would be up for getting back on that.
Matt, I can't believe you don't own that game, actually, considering how much we played it that weekend when we went at Bognor.
Yeah. It's got VR.
Skegness.
Well, it does have VR, yeah. I don't know. I feel like if I was playing locally with, like, mates, I definitely would have bought it already. But, yeah, I don't know. I probably should do, because when we play for that week together, it's just amazing, like, pass the pad multiplayer.
Yeah, it was really good.
I've got to ask, Sean, have you played Inside yet?
No.
Are you going to play it for next week? You literally have to play it for next week.
I'm away this weekend.
What have you got it on? PC?
Yeah.
What have you got it
on? All right, I'll do it. I will make the time and I will get it done.
Make the time. It's not
that long, is it? I mean, from what you said, you only need about an hour. It's like...
You are literally halfway through it.
Okay.
I think
it's
not.
If it's me, I'll probably start again.
Nah.
Okay.
Okay.
Chris Bann's SteamWorld Heist. Now, I've heard a lot about this. Sean, you love this, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. It came out on loads more formats this year, but I don't think that counts for the GOTY list. So, it's incredible.
Okay. Darth Gamer Kickoff Revival on PS4. Dino Dini's Kickoff Revival.
I heard it was appalling.
Yeah, I'm sure I got really piss poor review scores, but, you know, if people like it, I like it.
Didn't Mr. Biffo absolutely slaughter it?
Yeah, probably.
Do you know Mr. Biffo, don't you, Sean?
Yeah.
Give him a bell, ask him if he slaughtered it.
All right, we'll do.
Cool.
Give him a nudge. Podcharger, Subterfuge on iOS. Now, Sean, I think it's this game you've played. It sounds like a Sean game.
Yeah, it stressed me out. Couldn't do it. It's so basically, it's this sort of like persistent strategy game where you play it like over a week or whatever. So you start a game, you invite your mates in, and then like the game's running 24 hours a day. And it's all about deception and the reason it stresses you out is that, yeah, it's all about making alliances, fucking people over, and like sometimes staying up till 2 a.m. because then you can send out a load of attacks and you know everyone's going to be asleep and they won't see the notification until they wake up and it's too fucking late.
That sounds brilliant.
It is amazing, but like you do feel like quite upset playing it. Like when someone just like totally turns on you, like you honestly want to text and be like, what the fuck, mate? What are you doing? Like,
you just sunk my battleship.
Exactly. But yeah, no, the Dassault's Stroke Cool Ghosts video series on it. They basically, yeah, they played through a game and like everyone did videos every day of like what's happened. And like, yeah, you can see how it fucks them up. It's really good.
Yeah, it does sound good. Morbid Beard Inside has to be my sleeper hit of the year. Everything from the art style to the environmental storytelling is stellar. I mean,
definitely not underrated, that game.
No one says a sleeper. Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Andy Palmer, Duskers was a brilliant, real underrated gem. I haven't heard of Duskers. See, this is what I love about getting this sort of list, is you hear about games you've never even heard about. And Duskers. Any of you guys heard about Duskers?
No, I don't even know what that is.
This is another one that Cool Ghosts did a video on, and they absolutely loved it. I know absolutely nothing about it. So it's like a weird sort of like text-based security thing, I think, where you like run a security system and I don't know. Sounded really interesting, but I've forgotten all details about it.
A couple of clever guys said Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely underrated by the
clever
public.
Bants. Samant Smith, Raiden 5, great shoot 'em up, and Pac-Man Puzzle Tour on iOS.
Again,
also good. Ryan Harmon, Picross 3D Round 2. Presentation's on point. Puzzles are tuned at a great difficulty level. And the music is surprisingly wonderful. That's it. It's a good list. Okay, I thought I'd rather do that like your games of the year because you know, everyone does that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you're very different, Matt, aren't you?
I'm very, so different.
You're your own man. Okay, cool. Should we get on to what we've been playing this week?
Let's do that.
Okay. James, let's start with you.
You always start with me. Can't we start with someone else?
James, just do as you're fucking told, mate. I don't
even
need
want to
your
be
shit.
You see, I might type sometimes. You'd never get a response like that from me.
No, but every week I go first. Why?
Dave, you always talk to me on the pod. Why? Every Monday. Why do you talk to me? Jesus.
James, what you been fucking playing, you prick?
All right, I've been playing Watch Dogs 2 because I finished it this week.
Yeah.
And it gets better and better. I mean, it's a really, really amazing game. I really enjoyed it. I mean, the thing is that the tone in it is a lot lighter than the first game, but what's really good is it still has that whole sort of real world sort of, what's going on in the real world sort of concern about the game, which I liked a lot. I mean, the biggest problem with it though is probably still how sparse it is, like in the cities, because there's not really a lot to do apart from like the missions that you're on. You know, like in Grand Theft Auto, when you're just walking around, there's stuff going on, and it really does feel more like a sort of an alive city. This doesn't. The city doesn't feel alive, and that's the biggest problem with the game. It's the kind of thing that stops it from being like a real like sort of masterpiece as a game. Because it is an open world game, it doesn't really feel like an open world. It really feels like you're actually just playing missions, but I don't feel that really matters too much because the core game is just fun.
Well, this is it. I mean, you're comparing it to an absolute, they're masters, Rockstar, and they're incredible at creating like believable worlds full of stuff to do.
Yeah.
And that is not something. I mean, that's clearly not something that's easily done. You can let it get away with it a bit, I guess.
I mean, it's a bit. I mean, you can tell that this has been designed by, I mean, I'm assuming similar to people that have worked on Assassin's Creed games, because the cities in those feel a lot like this as well. As in, there's a lot of people milling around and stuff, but it doesn't really feel real. You know, it doesn't really feel alive, if you see what I mean. And that's the thing with this. But like I said,
I think I heard a rumor, and this might even be a joke, or it might not be a rumor in common knowledge. I don't know, but I'd heard that it was the same people that turned Assassin's Creed 1 into Assassin's Creed 2.
See, that,
like,
because
you know there was a big jump in quality for that.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a similar team that worked on getting what they did with Watch Dogs and turned it into Watch Dogs 2. And if that's the case, that's a pretty talented team, isn't it?
Because, I mean, this is a huge... I mean, in the beginning, I wasn't... Because I quite enjoyed the first Watch Dogs. I mean, I paid very little for it, which is probably why I enjoyed it a lot. But it was still really good. To a degree, but this really is like on another level. I mean, it's mostly because it's the level of control that you have over the environment. It just feels so fantastic. Like the way by the end of the game, it starts to feel like Matrix kind of stuff where you're just like, you are like just controlling like the game, if you see what I mean, which just feels like really good. I was saying to you the other day, like you're like driving along like across a bridge or whatever. And like with the hacking power you've got, you can take control of other cars. So if you're in a rush, you can just bat them off the bridge by like forcing them to turn right or whatever. So they will just like get out your way. And it's just, but the way it's done, the big problem with the game at the beginning is that they give you so much to do. There's so many sort of like icons all over the screen. There's the whole thing. And there's so many sort of like button combinations and stuff. But once you've learnt it all and you sort of, you just feel like you've got so much control. And that's why it's fun. I mean, in a different way to like GTA. I mean, in GTA, the fun is like doing stuff yourself. Whereas in this, the fun I had from this was kind of controlling things from a distance and just feeling like I'm sort of manipulating stuff, which felt a lot more enjoyable.
Do they ever address the fact that you're basically just a bunch of hacker kids, but you are also murdering tons of people?
Yeah, mentioned this to me as well. He was like, that is somewhat jarring.
Yeah, this is the big problem with it actually, because it doesn't really fit very well with the story, because even though this has got like a lighter tone, it still is sort of like shadowing sort of like real world events and like what's actually happened. And I think like John Denton on his like a video like review of this was like saying like, maybe the people that are like, they're hacking are bad, but you're like a mass murderer, as you're playing this game, because you do end up like killing like a lot of people, and it doesn't really match. Like there is a bit of a disconnect between that. I mean, I think this is probably why when I played, I mostly used like drones and called in gangs and police and stuff to do my dirty work because I didn't really want to kill people. I just thought I'd let them do it for me. Didn't feel as bad. It's, you know, it's a bit like
that's totally different. Ordering a hit and actually killing someone.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of a gap between it. You know, it's like, you know. Like US government, you know, they just send like drones or whatever to do it. It's like, you know, it's not my problem. It's
political.
You know, it's, but you know, it's,
yeah,
it's
they're,
like
they're fine to do that though, right, James?
No. Anyway, it's,
well,
it's
one
not
more
fine.
For one more for another, is it, James?
Yeah. But anyway, in the game, it feels like because it feels better to do that than like just going in there and just shooting people up because it doesn't feel like that's what the character would do. Like it just doesn't feel like that. And
yeah, but I know, but I mean, it's not a like, from what I've seen, there's a guy with a computer voice and a mask with spikes on it.
Because that, you see, that's another sort of like misconception about this game. Because, like, in the beginning, if you look at the characters that there are in this game. Hey?
Yep, go on.
Okay. At the beginning of the game, when you first start, like, the characters that you're introduced to, they look ridiculous. Like, they look totally ridiculous. It's kind of like, you know, even worse than Life is Strange, you know, like, in the terms of, like, look how cool they are and everything. But because they're very self-aware with this, of, like, what they're trying to achieve, and you end up, actually, I ended up quite liking the characters, and there are reasons why they are the way they are, and it's, the way it's done is quite believable, really. And, yeah. This you really have to like play through the story to like to get that from it because like an initial first impression will give you a it wouldn't be good.
Well, did you do like multiplayer stuff?
I did a bit. I played a bit of it. I mean, I finished like all of the main game, and then but the multiplayer stuff it fits in with as you're playing anyway, which is quite cool. Like you've got like because you know like the whole thing like with GTA when you go on a, like a rampage or something and you've got all the police after you and stuff. In this, like it'll bring in like a real like a you know. Like hackers from like other games that will then try and take you down as well as the police. It's well done. It works very well.
Yeah, I mean the last one had that sort of the online stuff was just like a mini game really, wasn't it? Of hide and seek, which was probably the best bit about that game because it was quite fun. But at the same time, you didn't want to.
Wasn't the best
lose
bit
all your
the
shit.
Iconic hat?
It was the iconic hat, Matt. You are absolutely correct. Yeah, I really want to play this game, which is incredible because, I mean, every time we've mentioned it leading up to its launch, I've been going, I've got no interest in this computer game.
You see, I didn't have that much interest, and in the beginning, I mean, to be honest, the first third of the game is not amazing, but then it really starts to, like, ratchet up and starts to become really something different. It's, it's a very, very good game. That's why it's on my list, because I mean, stuff like Dishonored 2, I really enjoyed, and I thought they were very good, but I had more fun with this. Like, this was just really fun to play. I mean, it was the kind of game where, when I wasn't playing it, I was still thinking about playing it, because, it's very good.
Does it do anything good with story, or is it just the fact that it's fun and you have loads of toys at your disposal and the functionality of those and the mechanics, or is there actually a good story that's interesting and makes you want to play further?
Well, that's the thing, is that the story isn't terrible. Like, the story is quite... I mean, I wouldn't say it's good, but it's enough to keep you, like, see what happens next. It's enough to keep you engaged. I mean, it's not like... I don't know, I mean, what do you think... I mean, Dave, what did you think of, like, GTA's story? Like, the most recent one?
I thought that was rubbish. I was really disappointed.
I wasn't disappointed because I think it was... I mean, it was a step up from 4. But there were some weird beats in it. I mean, I mentioned that there's that scene with Trevor that really fucking threw me, where he murdered that guy and his wife in their house and just walks out. And it was kind of like, I know Trevor's a murderer and stuff, but I could separate the whole, oh, Trevor's running around murdering civilians, to them seeing him, like, kill people that he was friendly with in, you know, cutscenes. It was weird. That stuff didn't work, but overall, I didn't hate it. I thought the ending was a bit weak, but other than that, I didn't totally hate it. I just thought it was serviceable. It's fine.
I mean, I think
why
did
you ask that?
Well, no, because I'm just wondering. Because I mean, this I enjoyed this more than I did GTA 5. Like in terms of story, I thought it was more interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I've not played Watch Dogs, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, in GTA 5, the story wasn't the best bit about that game, was it? It was what you were doing rather than why you were doing it.
But I think this is more impressive from the perspective of, like, after the first game, which the first game story was dreadful. I mean, it was just like a revenge kind of, you know, it was so cliched and like really, like, you know, really terrible. But this feels like, you know, they're actually trying to say something with this, and that's why I enjoyed
James,
it more.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
What's a better game, Grand Theft Auto 5 or Watch Dogs 2?
See, that's really difficult to say now.
Wow.
No, because I really enjoyed GTA 5 a lot, like for playing, you know, like the gameplay side of stuff. But this, once you started fiddling with like the world, it's like, it's really nice to do that. Like,
James,
to feel that you've got that control.
What's the better computer game?
Hey?
What's the better computer game? Come on.
I don't know. I can't answer that at the moment.
James.
It's been ages since I played GTA 5. I can't remember.
What's better, Grand Theft Auto 5 or Watch Dogs 2? Come on.
I don't know.
You're giving a gun to your head. Gun to your head. Your kids have been abducted. No, is that too far?
Come on.
James, come on. Gun to your head. Sophie's choice.
GTA 5, probably.
He totally bottled it. Did he look
it's
down
a shame
at his
because
phone,
there was no correct
notification
answer
notification and think, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, I can't deal with it this week.
But it is very good,
Sean.
It is very good. It's totally worth playing.
Do you think they can add to it with any DLC or
they
what,
are?
Is it,
I mean, there's more. There's more stuff coming in about for PS4. There's more stuff coming this month, and then Xbox One gets it a bit later because
in 2019
deal. Yeah. Or 2017.
So what do you think they could do to? Is it set up for a third?
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely, you know, continue where things sort of left off, but I'd rather they didn't. I'd rather they went somewhere else. I mean, probably going to another city or something like that. Obviously, would be the thing to do. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I found like because it's set in San Francisco, and it was a lot more of an interesting place, I thought, than Chicago. Like the geography was more interesting.
They should do Watch Dogs London, shouldn't they? I mean, people have been wanting Grand Theft Auto to go back to London. It would be good to see Watch Dogs try that.
They could. I mean, especially like because it's one of the cities with like the most surveillance in the world. It'd be quite an interesting place to go.
James loves this shit.
What's the link to the first game? I know like the main character is actually in this game as well, but is it any link at all?
He is, but he's only in there in like a side mission, like very briefly. Like, you just see him, like, briefly in a side mission, and that's it. There isn't really much link to the first game, aside, because you're, like, you know, you're part of, like, a hacker cell, but it's, like, it's the one in San Francisco, which is, like, affiliated, I think, with the one that's in Chicago. But you don't really, there's not really a huge link between it. It's really them forging their own path of what they're trying to do.
Right.
Nice.
Okay.
But it's great.
Is that what you've been playing this week?
Pretty much. I mean, I played Captain Toad as well, but I haven't really got thoughts to say about that, so never mind.
I've got a question about that. Harry has now started pointing out Toad, and we playing Mario 3D World the other day, and we played as all the characters. He just kept making me switch characters out, and I was surprised that he was bothered by Toad. So I was thinking, I need something new to play with him. Would Captain Toad hold his interest for more than 2 seconds?
Probably, maybe not. Because
no.
I've played it. I've played it, and I played it with Rachel, and she really loves 3D World as well, and like a lot of the other games. But she wasn't that impressed with this. She didn't, because I think it's because it's really slow paced. Like the pace of it is really slow.
That's what's worrying me.
It's because it's basically a puzzle game, and it's you know, it's like a platform puzzle game, but it's it's very, very slow paced, and she was really not that interested, I think, after a while. It's
I tried him with Last Guardian, but that he done like 5 seconds with that. He just freaks the I don't like it. Scared. Scared. All right, okay, I'll turn it off, mate. That's fine. Show no emotion 99% of the day. You look at one bird dog thing and you freak the fuck out. Okay, Matt, do you want to do what you're doing? Because I think Sean and I should go last.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a short one. I'm playing a little bit of Forza Horizon 3. I've been using this when I've been trying to test my streaming stuff, which, by the way, it is not working. So, Matt's Effect, I've no idea what's going to happen to that. But
sorry, what?
You heard.
Whoa, you can't just drop that here.
I have been trying to get the streaming stuff working for about a week, and everything I've tried doesn't seem to work. I bought an Elgato capture card that was like 90 quid, no, 60 quid, sorry, that I plugged that into my Mac, and I think my Mac's not quite powerful enough to do that, so that was annoying. Then I bought a Kinect camera for the Xbox One. Even that made the footage was really, really pixelated. At least it wasn't my end. Although today I've looked for stuff on Twitch and the video looks fine. So maybe I'll
this
go back
to
that.
This is what I'm saying. I think you're bullshitting to get out of a bit of Mass Effect.
No, I've barely played any games this week because I've been doing this every single night and it's just doing my head in. What else have I done? I moved the router upstairs. I switched my whole setup. I've bought new cables. Anyway, I'll try it once more, but after that, I'm not trying again. It's just.
Oh, but again, you were saying, it was all pixelated and fucked, and I literally watched the video and it was like perfect.
Yeah, I've just watched
that video
too.
I don't understand what the problem is.
I'll try again, but it was okay. Pixelated and fucked on the stream of mine anyway. Regardless, I've been using Forza Horizon 3 to sort of test the streaming quality, and I guess in doing so, I've played a fair bit of Forza Horizon 3. It's really fantastic. I didn't really play much of the second one because when I got my Xbox One, I think this had already been out for a while, and I got this quite late. So you guys, Dave and Code, had always stopped playing this, but the third one's brilliant. And the more I play, it's quite a shame not that more people aren't playing this, or at least me and you and other people who own Xbox Ones, Dave, because it's really, really fun, even just on my own in single player.
Yeah,
how much have you played of it? I saw you on that this week as well.
I will tell you exactly how much I've played on it, but I've barely touched the online. In fact, I don't think I've been online with it. I just play it offline because it does that thing with the driver tiles, which, in my opinion, basically means fuck all other than just putting your friends' names above cars around you. But that's enough. Like,
yeah,
that's
it's quite fun saying
enough.
Like you've got to get Peter Stern and stuff like. Yeah, I like the fact it's got your mates' names on there. It's nice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but at the same time, there's just something about that sort of that I love and keeps me engaged with who I'm racing against for some reason. It's one of those weird ones. Sorry, I'm filibustering because I'm trying to find exactly how many hours I've played of this game. I've played 24 hours, which actually I thought I'd played more, but I've played 24 hours of Forza Horizon 3, and that's mainly because Harry is absolutely obsessed with it. Yeah, you have played quite a bit, haven't you? You've put 9 hours into it this week.
Have I? Oh god, what
happened? I've
been doing a lot of testing.
Jesus Christ.
Every single night.
As I said, so I've completed the game, I've completed the main game. But as with all Forza Horizon games, there's plenty to do after you've finished it. The problem is the progression through the game, as I said at the start of the show, is just, it's not as defined. And I think the idea was to say, okay, let people just do what they want and they'll progress anyway, which I'm sure some people prefer, but not me. I preferred the way it worked with Forza Horizon 2. It was, you're in this area, you've got to do a load of tasks like races and this, that and the other. Once you've completed the sort of local tournament, you then all drive to the next part of the map and then do the same thing, and it takes you to the various different locations. And then finally, there's this massive long race, it's like a 20-minute race that you have to complete to finish the game, which drives you around the whole world,
Oh, really? Fantastic.
It's an excellent way to finish it. Here, you don't get any of that. It kind of just sort of throws... You unlock different festivals, but then you have to sort of build them up. You build fans by competing in races. When you get enough fans, you can expand the festival, but that's basically just going back to the festival site, pressing a button, and it unlocks a few new races in that local area. And at times you're kind of like, actually, I've got no sort of guidance on how to sort of progress through this game. It doesn't make things clear, and there feels like there's no sort of start and end to it. It's just kind of, here's a bunch of stuff and eventually it'll end. And that's what it does. It doesn't have that sort of long race that that Forza Horizon 2 did. It does have a few sort of longer races, but nothing to what Forza Horizon 2 did. And although the various different settings is fantastic, it never feels like it takes advantage of it too much. The off-road racing's a lot better, but I still prefer the track, like the road racing. I love it. It's still fucking excellent, and I still enjoy it every time I play it. It just feels that it's missing a little bit of something that Forza Horizon 2 had. But fully understand that's quite a controversial opinion. People seem to have liked this game much more than two.
Yeah, I really love the different environments and the fact that I guess they can do it. Being Australian, you know, you go through like, you know, across beaches and deserts and forests and then again on the track as well. I think it's just super fun. The handling model is brilliant. It does remind me of sort of old like Sega races. It's just, yeah, it's just super, super fun. And it looks absolutely gorgeous, like bombing through the forest with all the lighting on the car and stuff. Yeah, I really want to do some more online, but even just playing single player, it's fun and it feels sort of online just because you are beating your friends' times and it's constantly telling you how many roads you've been on versus your friends or top score around a certain corner or you know, or this, that and the other. I think it's a really, really fantastic game. I think I'm going to keep plugging away at just playing bits here and there because it's one of those great games where you can just play for 2 minutes and then turn it off and come back later to it. I think it's excellent.
I had a devastating moment on it this weekend, actually. I've been saving up. I think the car on the cover, the black and yellow car, I think it's a Lotus, I'm not too sure. We've been saving up for that car for ages. It's like 2.3 million or something. And we've been just saving up credits, and I'm thinking, just please, like, we need to get this car because, you know, Harry's eyes light up every time the loading screen comes up and all that sort of stuff. And we've been saving, and I had 2.1 million, and I'm thinking, right, a few more races, and we can finally buy this car. The problem was, when I was in the garage, he noticed that there was a souped-up Mini in there, and he was just like, Mini, I want that. And I'm like, whoa, 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 let me check the price. Okay, it's 1 million credits, Harry. I really don't think we should buy this, because we want to get the we're buying the Mini. Now listen, if we buy this, there's going to be another fucking 40 hours worth of gameplay before we can get the car that you've been saving up for. Remember that car? I want the Mini. Make it red. So that was it. We're back to square one now. We spent half of our budget on a fucking Mini. So yeah, quite devastating.
Nightmare. The first DLC actually comes out tomorrow. So by the time we're listening to this, the first DLC is already out. I think it's called Blizzard Mountain. It's all like snow tracks, and it's got 8 new cars and stuff. So
yeah, I heard about that. That sounds like a good shout for Christmas.
Yeah, huh? Definitely. Yeah, super, suitly festive.
There's an insane amount of cars ready for you to download as well, Matt, because you got the VIP version, didn't
yeah.
you? So it gets you get a ton of if you go to the what is it called, the car show. And then go to sort by price. There's just a ton that's just a free download.
Cool. Actually, I remember getting a code to get the Warthog, the Halo Warthog.
Oh, yeah, I've got that. Yeah, it's not bad, actually. It's pretty good on the online racing.
Yeah, I should do that. Well, we should play sometime. I think it'd be great over the holidays. Let's
not push it.
I should really get the PC version, and we can try out the whole PC / Xbox deal.
You should do that.
Because that's apparently is a thing. But I don't know anyone who's even tried it.
I'm bang up for that. Bang up for it. Yeah. Does the voice chat work across platforms?
I think so.
It must do, surely.
Yeah, it must do. Right. Okay, right. We'll try that then. Okay, we should probably get on to the big release this week. It has been 10 years in the making. The Last Guardian. Both Sean and I have been playing it. I think Sean is a lot further than I am. So I would like to hear your
opinion. I don't
know.
I think you might be further than me, man. I've not put a huge amount of time into this. I'm trying to savor it a bit.
Broken Bridge?
No.
You've not got to the commands bit?
No.
Oh, right. Fuck. Yeah, I'm further than you then.
It's been this, it's been so long coming. I'm like, I'm not blitzing this in 2 days just for the sake of having an opinion on it. Do you know what I mean?
I guess this is a shame because I consider myself to be very, very early on in the game, and it certainly feels that way. I'm probably about 2 hours in. Although saying that, I can't really put a finger how far into it I am, because
I was going to say it must be more than two, because I'm at like 2 or 3 hours and I haven't got to any command stuff yet.
I think I'm around the 2 hour mark for normal people, but here's the thing with The Last Guardian, right? At the moment, I am not enjoying it at all. There's a few moments where I go, wow, I see what you're doing, and this is magical. Wow. And then I get to a room, I see that there's a puzzle, I work out, I see the solution to the puzzle. Part of it is, oh, look, there's a platform up there that I can't reach. What I need to do is call Trico over, stand on his back, and then jump on the platform. Then for the next half an hour, it's me just screaming at this thing, thinking, how comes every time I get on your back and you lift your head right next to the platform, when I get to your head, you move it away? What is going on? So I'm at a bit, and this isn't, I don't consider this a spoiler. I'm sorry if it is. I don't think it is anywhere a spoiler. You get to a bit where you learn that you can actually teach it stuff, okay? Or you can ask it to do stuff, and it was, that just has not worked for me, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Like, it says, oh, hold down R1 and point in the direction you want him to go. So I do that, and he just ignores me, and I'm like, what the what the fuck? So yeah, for last night, for about I think it was half an hour to 45 minutes, I was stuck in one area that was so, it was so clear what I had to do, but I just could not get Trico to fucking do what I needed it to do.
It's not R1 thing. You just hold on R1 and then walk and go where you want it to go, and it'll follow you.
No, well, you can move and then call him over, and he will come over. But sometimes he stops short about 10 yards. And you're like, so you move a little bit further and then you call him, and he looks at you like you're an idiot. And then you want to just pound his face in with a DualShock 3. DualShock 4, whatever we're up to now. It's just, I mean, I'm hoping that this is part of the idea of the game, and that in an hour's time, we are going to be completely in sync and knowing what we're doing. All I'll say is, if that is the case, then I am not going to be happy, because, I mean, don't fuck around with me like that. You know what I mean? I know it's an animal, and it shouldn't be command, like, doing everything I need it to do on command. But at the same time, don't make me come out in cold sweats, because last night I was getting to the point where I was going to snap the disc. I was getting so frustrated. And I would be like, I'd be trying to tell it this. I genuinely thought that maybe there was a problem. Do you remember there was, I don't, this might still be an issue, I'm going to try it. Do you remember when there was a problem with putting Bloodborne into suspended play?
Oh yeah.
And if you did it like for a day and went back to it and just booted it straight into the game become insanely easy, because a load of the enemies lost their like bits of their AI.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Just a really, really weird bug. It genuinely felt to me like that's what was going on with Trico. That because I'd had it in suspended play and got into it, the thing had forgotten bits of its AI. So every time I was going, go over there, and it was just going, I was, no, go over there, mate. Serious fucking hell. I said last night, it's Parent Simulator 2016. Like, the amount times I've done this with Harry, now I'm doing it with a digital bird, cat, dog.
Like, from what I've heard other people saying from my own experience, although, like I say, I've not got to, like, that stuff yet, it does absolutely seem like it's by design and they've done it on purpose. Like, creating a perfect AI that just does what it's told is much easier than one that fucks up constantly. So they've done this on purpose.
I don't believe that.
But I don't, even that being the case, I can see why that wouldn't make it any less annoying.
I'm not on that. I'm not on board with you there, Sean.
Okay. Why not? Do you see what I mean, though? Like, it's much easier to make something that just does, like, oh, I've been told to do this, I will go and do this. Like, to make something that fucks it up and gets things wrong or just chooses not to listen to you sometimes, that's you'd have to go out of your way to do that.
Right, but in the same vein, doing it without infuriating the player is a better way of doing it. Or making it obvious listening to you and not reacting to you. Making it obvious and not just having it stand there. And you're like, mate, come or just do what I fucking need you to do. I just want to get on that fucking platform up there. The other thing I was thinking is that it feels like I'm missing the sort of trick to doing that. Like, maybe I should be either looking directly at something, or maybe I should be not holding down the button, I should be tapping it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's something like that. As I said, it's with Thumper, It kind of makes me think, like, you know, there was that time I was like, should I be holding, can I hold X here? Or does that, like, punish me from doing that? And then you're trying to work out what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right and stuff. That's what controlling Trico feels like. It kind of feels like I'm doing it wrong and that I'm missing something. And hopefully, God, I hope that clicks on my next playthrough, because I can't have another night like last night. I don't know how I'm going to get through it if I have another night like
apparently it varies depending on how you treat Trico as well.
I'm always stroking
okay.
it.
I've got a question here, because you've just... Yeah. Okay, is it Trico or Trico? Because
it's Trico.
You
it's,
said
it's
Trico, and Trico. He's been saying Trico the whole time.
Yeah, no, it's probably Trico. It goes back to Ico, Eco. The thing was, is that I grew up, you know... When everyone around me called it Ico, and I've never corrected that, and not out of stubbornness, it's just been forced into my brain. I've just automatically
exactly, like,
called
I'm
it
not,
Ico.
You know, I'm not correcting Dave.
Sean is almost definitely right. Is what I'm saying.
Because it's basically a shit pun. Because so Ico is the first one. The code name for Shadow of the Colossus was Nico, Ni being two in Japanese, and then this is Trico 3. Do you see?
I see that. Yeah, but anyway, sorry. Hope that that clears that up, James. I'm probably not going to correct myself, so if that's bugging you already, just tune out. I'm not talking to you, James. I'm talking to the listener. You can't tune out.
Maybe everyone could tweet in whether it's Ico or Eco.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Sean. You were saying...
No, so I'm still on board with this idea that it is a pet simulator, and like to the extent that like I've got a 7-month-old puppy, and fucking hell, you do feel like screaming at them sometimes because they're just not getting things. And it's like, no, I've told you fucking hundreds of times not to bite my feet, and I know that shouting at you doesn't actually help, and there's no point me doing that. But nothing else is fucking working.
My belt.
Shouting doesn't work, but it makes me feel better. So we're going to continue.
Yeah, and there's like this endless amount of patience required. And like I say, I'm still at a point where I'm willing to believe they've done that on purpose, whether it's shit and annoying or not. I do think it's probably an intentional move, but I'll wait until I've got a bit further before I...
I'd be really interested to hear A, how you get on with the bit that I was really struggling with, and B, if you still hold that opinion that it's by design, because I genuinely don't think it is. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if someone just like sort of said, I watch your footage on Twitch, and what you should be doing is actually pressing this button as well as that button. And then I'd be like, oh fucking hell, of course, what have I been doing?
You can also press the face buttons, can't you?
What do you mean?
You can also press, like, it's not just a direction. You can press, you know, X.
Yeah, the
and,
face buttons as well. Yeah. But I want to kind of get the negatives out of the way so we can look at the positives. So I will quickly say the game does look like shit.
What? No, it doesn't.
It does. It runs like shit.
It runs like shit. But I mean, I don't care, though. Like, I'll accept criticisms of the controls, they're bollocks, and the camera's shit. But I have no problem with the way it looks.
Okay, we'll get back to the way it looks. But yeah, I mean, fucking jump on triangle. I mean, I get the idea that it's square down. I get that. But come on, we've moved on now. That's no longer acceptable.
Not necessary, is it?
But yeah, I don't know how you... I mean, I guess I can know how you can say that it looks good. I don't like the style of it. I don't like how saturated everything is, you know? It's like it's...
I love that.
Are you outside the main castle bit yet?
Yeah. You see, the outdoor bits, I think, look amazing.
But it's so fucking bright. Like, way too bright. I'm just like...
Yeah, but it's that's you stepping out of a fucking cave. It's
Sean, you are really making excuses for this now.
No, I'm not. It's Eco did the same thing. That is an intentional move, absolutely. I mean, I understand, like, visually, you can tell how much of it is... come from the PS3 version.
Yeah, I think the the feathers look really crap. I mean, when you compare it to, say, something like Uncharted 4, which just looks stunning, and down to every detail, it looks stunning. I just kind of think, well, this doesn't even compare. It really doesn't.
Yeah, but isn't that a bit harsh? I mean, a lot of games don't compare to Uncharted.
I guess it's
definitely
a bit
one of the best looking games.
You're definitely right. You're definitely right. But I would say this. I mean, I'm probably giving it too much of a dig, but I agree with Sean there. I mean, a lot of this was you could see that a lot of it was developed for a PS3. There's some people saying it looks like a PS2 game. I think you should probably go back and play a PS2 game before you play that sort of stuff. But I mean, it looks like a very early generation PS4 game or or late PS3 game, you know, that sort of era.
Hello, spoiler bot here. Dave's internet connection went mental and there's no way to edit this bit together that makes it sound coherent, so you've got me instead. Fuck the police.
I mean, there's all that stuff that you kind of been ironed out in the past 10 years, and even the, you know, the sort of more shoddier games that, come out on the current generation of consoles have not got that stuff. I mean, Devil's Third had it, but that game got 3 out of 10 everywhere, so it's kind of like, it's not really acceptable here. But then at the same
time... it all seems like things that... All right, this is me pretending to know about game development. They all seem like things that could have been tweaked or changed without, you know, breaking 10 years worth of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I haven't got problems with like the speed of the character or how far he jumps, you know, things that would actually affect the design and the levels or how things work. It's just how like unresponsive he is and how, like you say, he just fucking flails around. The worst one seems to be when like grabbing ledges. Like sometimes I've just had him like fucking windmilling around before he just sort of settles, and then I can do something.
Yeah, totally.
Really strange.
And bits where you're climbing up Trico, and you get to a bit that you know, it's either they haven't considered what would happen if you climb on that bit, or they didn't really care, because there's bits where you just kind of get stuck in an armpit and you're kind of like, oh mate.
Yeah, it's like they've used the same code. That's how it works. You just copy and paste code from an old game to a new one. They've copied the code from Shadow of the Colossus that handled the climbing and stuff, but now it's like it's a much smaller creature that you're climbing around with, like you say, with little armpits and stuff. And yeah, it does, you do get a bit lost.
I do kind of, and we've, you know, everyone talks about the camera, and I think that's a valid, criticism as well. There's also, for inverted players, there's also... It does this thing that I haven't seen since the Wheelman, where it's got aim and camera view. You can invert the camera view, but you can't invert the aim view. So, you know, when you aim with the shield, you can't invert that. So it's kind of like, oh, for fuck's sake, now I've got to go, you know, it totally fucks in my head. Criticism's out of the way, right? We've done all that shit.
Moments. You're really putting me off, Dave. Like this,
I was going to say, like we are going to get shouted at by the listeners.
Well, fair enough, but I don't think we've said anything too shocking. And as I said right up front, I'm very early on in the game, and I will complete this game. I've got no doubt about that. You know, it's I owe it that at least. I just thought it was I thought it was probably right to acknowledge the flaws, and then you know come back to this maybe in the new year. And once we've finished it and have a proper look at the game overall, because it's totally unfair to judge the game completely on the first few hours. I mean, look at the way that I was talking about Dark Souls in the first few hours. It was turned out to be one of my favorite games of all time. And I mean, if you spoke to me in the first few hours I played that game, it was one of the worst. So, this does not sum up the game completely. Because there are still moments in it that I am really enjoying. When things seem to work, when Trico sort of kind of looks a certain way and you can judge what he's thinking in a weird way, you have sort of that weird connection, and then the whole thing plays out as you thought it would, that's when this game goes, right, this has made me connect with something in a game that I've never felt this way before about, you know what I mean? Like, there's moments where I'm kind of thinking, holy shit, I'm working out a living being, when it's not, it's like just a computer game character. That's clearly what this game is about, and that's what it's trying to drum home. And when it works, it's very fucking powerful. So I'm hoping as I get used to its little ticks and start to get used to the dodgy frame rate and you know, the weird animation stuff, I can totally see me overlooking those flaws and thinking, actually, the main thrust of this game is nailed. So I'm really interested to see where the relationship goes, because right now I can see it building and building, and I'm already worried about him when he's in battle, because the way it does that is that whenever he enters battle, you have to kind of calm him down, and you do that by either feeding him or rubbing his back or whatever, you know, that's it. You've got to rub him in certain places to make him feel comfortable. You can't just, like, you know, tap him on the arse and say, on your way, son. you have to kind of, treat... Well, I keep saying him, but I've not been told otherwise yet, and I guess I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just genderless. Isn't
yeah,
it? Them, they,
it. Yeah, it's. I mean, those moments where you connect are really powerful, and if there's more of that and less of the really frustrating behaviour, then I can see myself totally going back on everything I've just said and saying, well, all of that stuff that I've complained about at the start, I can gladly ignore that shit, and I actually love where this is going. And I feel, looking on forums and people, you know, a lot of people completed this over the weekend, so people seem to have powered through it.
Well, see, this is why I'm trying to take my time with it, because, yeah, like, I know people who did it in one fucking day.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
I want it to last.
That could be a good thing. It might be a better way to play it. But I mean, I haven't got the opportunity to do that, but I have spoken to people that have powered through it, and they're nothing. They're so gushing about it. But I mean, for example, Capone Adams finished it, and now Capone Adams been waiting for this game for so long, and you know, this is the game that he. I mean, he was saying he almost felt sick when he was loading it up for the first time, and he seems to be very, very positive about it. But when I spoke to him about it today and said, you know, talking about the stuff that was frustrating me, he was kind of like, yeah, no, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to just drive over to that studio and fucking scream at them. But I'm kind of thinking, maybe that's it. Maybe it's one of those games where you see its flaws, you acknowledge them, but it does enough to put them to the back of your mind and make you focus on other things. And that's why it works, and that's why people are loving it so much. So I'm really, really interested to see how far I go with this and see how much it can turn me around. And, you know, I've already seen glimpses of it. It's just at the moment the frustrations are really overriding everything else I'm doing. Yeah, so that's my opinion on the first few hours of The Last Guardian.
I'm sorry, Sean. I was going to say.
I was just going to say the.
they're like a cute couple.
No, you go first. Okay, I'll ask mine quickly.
Keep finishing each other's.
Yeah, sandwiches. For those who have finished the game, how long is the game?
I've heard like 9 hours.
Yeah, okay, I've heard that. Okay. 9-10 hours.
Okay, that's not so bad then.
No, but it also means I'm quite a chunk into the game. You know, I'm a fair bit into the game.
Yeah, but if you've been stuck for 2 of those hours, then I wouldn't worry about it.
Yes, good point. yeah, so Sean, you were saying.
I was going to say that. I think the main thing that threatens to ruin my enjoyment of it is just worrying about Trico and worrying about him getting hurt. Because, it already fucks me up when, like, you go through a door that he can't fit through and he's, like, trying to shove his face in it and reach through with his claws.
That is adorable when he does that. The first time he did that, I was like, oh, that is too cute. But the problem is that they give you a way of pushing him back out. Have you seen that bit yet?
Yeah.
To get him out of the way. And you just, like, sort of just punch him in the face. It's like, I'm kind of like, whoa, no, I didn't want to do that.
And it doesn't help, but a lot of people are saying it, like, stuff like that does make a difference. Like, apparently, if you are nicer to him, he will, like, he's more likely to pay attention to you later on in the game. So, like, it's bad enough that you're getting visual cues, like, oh no, he's upset or he doesn't like something I've just done. But knowing there might actually be a gameplay system behind it, it's like, oh no,
I didn't know
that's
that.
Like rudimentary AI. Yeah, I'm hurting his feelings.
That's gonna fuck me up. I know that food is more important than you initially think. So, and now I'm worried about feeding him all the time. But yeah, I didn't need to know that, Sean. It's going to fuck me up now whenever I go back. Because if the microphone is picked up, what you're saying, that motherfucker is going to just dash away.
I was
going
to say, did you find, I mean, aside from shouting at him in frustration, do you find that you talk to him a lot when you really
Yeah,
don't
no,
need
I do,
to?
Yeah. I go, oh, you're all right, mate. You know what I mean? Like, when he's like been hurt or whatever, I'll just go, ah, you're all right. Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous, actually. Have you got to the birdcage bit yet? The glowing birdcage?
Yes.
That's fucking
that
interesting, isn't it? What the fuck is going on there, Sean? Okay,
don't know.
Cool. No, nor do I. I'm worried that that's going to be forgotten about, never addressed. Because that was... all right. Yeah. So... We will. I suppose this is why it hasn't made our Game of the Year list, and I think maybe we should consider December as part of 2017, and maybe this can slip in next year, but we'll see.
Well, yeah, because there's Final Fantasy 15, stuff like that. That's well good.
Yeah,
but it's too, like, you know, I'm 10 hours into an 80-hour game, so no, I don't want to. I'm going to stick it on the list just
yet. Yeah, and it was, I mean, I always regretted not giving Rainbow Six Siege my game of the year last year. It was ridiculous that I didn't, but I started reviewing that game like sort of the first week of December, and it was kind of like that, you know. I mean, we've already got to write up our game of the year stuff for Spong, which I think I've missed the deadline of thinking about it now, so I better get on that.
Really? Was there already? What was the deadline?
I can't remember. It was in the email. Yeah, but I got to get that sorted. It's Titanfall. Spoilers. No surprise.
Okay, it's 19th.
Okay, we've got another week. Okay, I'll get that written this week. But yeah, so I can't wait to see where this goes. I've got every confidence that it will drop my frustrations and start tugging on my heartstrings. And that's all I want this game to do at this point. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Also, I had that feeling where this game has been talked about for 10 years and we've known about it for a long, long time and we've seen this bird cat thing for ages. I'm kind of happy now that it's out of the way and they can actually work on something else. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work because, so for me to Uedo has been the, I forget the proper title, but king of all the games Team Ico have put out. So he's basically left Sony, but he's sort of carried on working on this on like a freelance basis or something. So I presume he's gone for good now. So yeah, I'd be interested to see what happens to Team Ico, like whether they just sort of disband and become part of, you know, Sony's Japan studio or what. I've no idea.
Well, and what away? Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Next, is he still going to do games?
No idea. He's I imagine he might be a bit burnt out after all Last Guardian thing. Have you seen it's not sold that well?
Yes, I have.
I mean, you know, if you believe the headlines, fucking nothing sells. But, yeah, it was, what was that, number 7 in the charts?
Yeah, what was it? The big headline was that a game that I didn't even know existed until it was released. The what is it? Dead Rising sold more copies than Last Guardian, which is crazy, really, especially considering it's a big PlayStation exclusive. And the other is an Xbox One. Which, it's not doing too well.
Like, this game has been many, many years in the making. We've had Duke Nukem Forever's come out. This has come out. I mean, is it just Half-Life 3 that's left now? Like, what's been in development hell for
I think
years?
So, yeah, in terms of shit that people... Like, yeah, things that have definitely been worked on that people have been waiting a long time
Shenmue.
For. Yeah, I think...
That's happening,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be shit, though, isn't it?
Shenmue's the one... No one's got faith in that project.
It's gone very quiet recently, which is always a very bad sign.
Recently, it's been quite
like all the Kickstarter updates are really rubbish. They're like, every time I get an email, I get quite excited, and it's just, we've got this guy on board. I'm like, I don't give a... Just give me some gameplay.
The worst ones are when you get backer updates, and they're just like, still working on the rewards. It's like... Well,
you better work
my disappointing on two levels. Like, yeah, disappointing on two levels because it's like, one, shut up and tell me about the game, and two, like, you're still working on the rewards. Fucking hell.
Half-Life 3 is never happening. Yeah. That's happened.
That's the saddest thing.
Shit.
It'll happen. Two Human 2,
mate. Come on.
That's the one, yeah.
You can do
that's
it.
Get out. Okay, have you been playing any.
Speaking. I was going to say, speaking of slightly rubbish games that I love, I've been playing way too much of Let It Die.
Yes.
I really like it.
Now,
really.
Now you can do quite a good description of the game, unlike last week when I butchered that.
Well, the thing is, because it's such a weird game, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on how it works now, but it's still, like, even attempting to explain it is that, yeah, like, it's sort of post-apocalyptic, but you're in this tower and everyone thinks that it leads up to the heavens and you're trying to fight your way up through it. But also it was like a research institute where a guy was creating super soldiers. And it seems like the implication being that's what your characters are. And it's all like, it's like subway themed. Mm. Like there's a lot of trains and you have like your sort of subway station, which is your like little base, which has your shops in it and stuff. And there's a woman who keeps ranting about mushrooms.
The mushroom lady.
Mushroom lady. And a guy with a little toothbrush mustache, which is a curious design choice. And a brain in a jar with two little fans that keep it floating, and it's called Mingo Head, and that's how you level up your character. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, you go into these levels, and there's like a weird sort of system where there's like There's a very basic map that shows you sort of the layout of them, and then so to initially it's like you do this one level and then another one, then another one. You keep going up these escalators, and you find lifts, which then basically act as like shortcuts, like those bits.
Yeah, but haven't you got to pay real money to use those things?
No. There's one you can pay real money for that gives you access, like free access to any floor, I think.
It gets you free access to any floor you've been on already.
Once you've been to, yeah. Normally, like the more floors you're traversing on the lift, the more it costs. So initially, it's not really a big deal, but then it's like 500 quid every time you do it or whatever. The combat is like a sort of slightly shitty Dark Souls ripoff, but it's just about good enough. Especially like once you get into like your items break a lot, so it's all about like keeping a sort of little economy of items going and like making sure you've always got stuff that you can use and like switching through items quite a lot. It's grim. It's really grim, but it's got a sense of humor about it. Like, if you actually stop and think about what is going on and what you're doing, it's fucking horrific. Like, you're a man just running around all these, like, ruined, like, subway lines in the nude and eating frogs to survive and punching people and...
Hold on. It's horrific. I've heard that the whole game took place in an arcade and you're actually playing an arcade game.
Well, yeah, but you're playing... the game in the game is about this sort of post-apocalyptic... shit. So I was doing that and I was going through the levels and I was quite enjoying myself and sort of getting a hang of like just sort of dipping into levels, getting some experience points, getting some blueprints for items which you can then mass produce at the shop, which is really useful, and then sort of getting a bit of a foothold. And then when you defeat the first sort of mid boss, it then unlocks the multiplayer stuff, which is not really multiplayer stuff. It's like base invasions. So you know, I mentioned like you have your little base with the shops in it and stuff. You can break into other people's and smash up their banks with their money in and stuff. And also you can... Sorry, it's so weird trying to get your head around explaining all this shit. The game's really bad at explaining it as well, which doesn't help. It just throws everything at you pretty much immediately, and you have to just sort of read about 20 tutorials and then try and piece it together. But you have more than one character. The whole point is you're raising like a stable of them. So you get one character to level 25 in relatively short order, and you're like, well, hang on, this is weird. What am I supposed to do next? And then once it introduces the multiplayer stuff, it's like, oh yeah, you need like loads of guys to defend your base, because when someone invades you, you can have set up like your characters to defend it. So then you go, right, shit, so this level 25 guy needs to just go in the bank and then need to start raising another one and then another one and then another one. And it's all about building up your team to look after your base, so that while you're out, if people try and invade you, your guys deal with them. And yeah, but like, and then it's got weird shit like when you invade someone else, there's a chance that instead of killing one of their guys, you'll knock them out, and you can then take them prisoner, and you then take them to your base, and then you reset them, which seems to involve sitting them on a toilet in like bound up in like a yellow PVC bag with all tubes going into them for 48 hours. And it's fucked up.
It's messed up.
It's really horrible.
We sort of touched on this last week. How does it avoid you smashing up stuff people played real money for?
Well, you can only ever... I'm not really sure how the maths work, but like when you're smashing up someone's bank, you're not getting all of their stuff. I think it's only like a percentage, and you can only get... there's three currencies. I know Matt, you mentioned this. So there's like sort of normal money, there's like some blue money that's called like splithium or something.
Yeah, splithium. Yeah.
And then there's death metal, which is your currency, that basically that's for like reviving yourself if you die. That I think death metal is the only one you pay money for.
You buy that pass. I can't remember what it's called.
So you can't steal death metal, it's only splithium and the cash. You can't take like all of a player's stuff. It's only like a certain fraction of what they've got.
That makes sense. But,
so if you take someone prisoner, and like say you've got 48 hours when this reset process happens, if that completes, then you've got a new character, which is obviously like the level of the one that you stole. But if someone invades you and they manage to get into your toilet and smash the jail cell open, they then rescue that character and then they get sent back to the owner. And it's really smart. Like, there's so much to it. Like, it feels like, and like this is going to sound way over the top, it feels like almost like what a Dark Souls sequel should have been like. I feel like I'm back in that place of like, fuck, I don't understand this, and it's really interesting, and I'm just enjoying not fully getting it and learning things and picking things up, and like that unfamiliarity is back. You know, like with Dark Souls 2 and 3, it was like, well, this is still hard, but I know the basic gist of it. This feels like in a similar vein, but I don't understand all the systems.
Yeah, so it's like you're forced to sort of simulate that playground chat that you used to have with games, you know, where you're going, oh, did you know if this happens and that happens, then, you know,
exactly,
I love that shit.
And similarly, like, because it has this system of like, when you die, so the character you were using then stays there and becomes an enemy, which, again, I know Matt covered. But then that enemy can appear in other people's games. And then, like, so, like, you know, Andy was, like, texting me, like, oh, yeah, by the way, watch out in this bit of this level because I fucking died like an idiot. So there's a level 25 guy wandering around trying to kill you. And lo and behold, there he was. Like,
oh, that's pretty cool.
Found that character and killed him. And it's, yeah, it's proper good. Like, it is a bit... Obviously, it's a bit low budget. The graphics aren't amazing. The combat, like I say, people are comparing it to Dark Souls, nowhere near as good. But yeah, it just feels like a mad, like, PlayStation 2 curio that like five people played and still talk about to this day. And it's just so odd and interesting. And it's free. And I've not felt any need to pay any money yet, which is really interesting. Like, I think by it's going to be one of those ones that by the time it comes to ask me for money, I'm probably going to be like, well, yeah, I'm already 15 hours in, so fair enough.
Yeah, done with it. Yeah.
Have you looked at how much the monthly passes are? The thing that gives you 30 days worth of credits, whatever.
Okay. See, that's the thing, because I couldn't even tell you how the paid stuff works. I've just not even needed to consider it yet, because it's been all sorts of weird giveaways, because it was like there was some server issues initially or something. They had to do a lot of maintenance and they're like, oh yeah, sorry about that, here's loads of money and some death metal and stuff. Like, I've not run out of anything yet.
What'd you spend that money on?
The death metal, yeah. That's literally just when you die, it's like you can pay one and revive there and then, rather than going through the whole thing of having to get another character out of the freezer. Oh yeah, all the characters you're not using literally go in a freezer.
You
saves the rigmarole of no, again, it's just one of these things where it's like, again, when you it's sort of presented really matter of factly, but it's like, oh yeah, your characters just like wander into a freezer and all these pipes go in them and they just go into cold storage and everyone's just fine with it for some reason. It's just fucked up. But yeah, reviving on the spot saves you going through the process of going back to where you died and then killing your old character and then getting them back in the freezer.
Cool. Basically. So, I mean, can you see yourself putting more hours into this then?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm properly into it. There seems to be some war going on between the UK and California as well.
How do you mean?
So I'm making a point. It shows you, like the amount of beef between different countries or different... Well, like, America's split up into all different states, but for some reason, California's been destroying the UK, so we're fighting back. So when you invade people, you can see where they're from, and you're like, right, he's from California, he's fucking dead. it's good.
I should give it more time. I mean, I literally played it for about 30 seconds before James showed up at mine.
Yeah, it is well confusing at first and a bit shit. Like, it's quite funny and stuff. You got all the chatter with Uncle Death, who is excellent. But it is a bit like, I initially just thought, there's no way I'm putting any real time into this. And then Andy was banging on about it, so I thought, I'll have another go, and I'm properly into it.
Yeah, I felt the same. I was kind of like, because it just chucks text at you on what you're supposed to be doing. I was kind of like, oh, mate, come on. But then James came over and we had sort of a 2016 revival, didn't we, James? Played Trackmania and Pez and...
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Something else. Oh, was that all we played? The Pez game, the first Pez game we played was legendary. And it was one of those situations where I turned around to James and went, how can you prefer FIFA over this? I mean, Jesus, that was such a good match because it had a whole story, like a proper, you know, story that you associate with a real football match, where he went 1-0 up and I drew 1-1 and then he lost a play, got a red card, and he was just defending for his life and I was absolutely hammering his goal, but I couldn't put it in the back of the net, and it went all the way to penalties. And yeah, I mean, the penalties are a bit fucked in that game anyway, so they didn't really count. And then the next game I battered him and it was kind of like, oh, there's nowhere near as fun. It's true, isn't it? That first game was brilliant.
That my favourite bit of that was when you, I don't know how you did it, but you like passed the ball along the like the goal line rather than kicked it into the
goal
net.
And he sort of, it was the worst open goal miss you've ever seen. But I remember bits of that game, and that's what makes Pez so special. And I'm kind of glad you put that on the list now, because I'm going to make a fucking good shout for that when it comes to it next week. Okay, let's get on to emails.
Okay, so if you want to email us, it's thecomputergameshow@gmail.com.
James says that is such a gritted teeth.
Well, it's because Matt's already said it, hasn't he? It's like, why do we have to... anyway.
Because people forget. Yeah. That was 2 hours ago now.
They listen to emails and think, oh, I want to get in contact with a show. What's the email address? Bam.
Look at the show notes. You know, it's not hard. Anyway. Following recent comments about the team and general conduct of the hosts of the Computer Game Show, I felt compelled to provide another view from the ground floor, us rank-and-file listeners that can barely wait for the next episode to asthmatically lurch down the internet to us each week. If the Computer Game Show was a band, then Matt and James would be the rhythm section. Were there a useful component that keeps things ticking along with their important contributions, they're not ultimately responsible for the verve and flourish of the project that attracts listeners and keeps them coming back. The possibility of another cameo from Capone Adam is far more enticing prospect than a side project produced by the jobbing and reliable Farley and Murray duet. Even though Capone would split the lead listenership through some bold yet commercially disastrous experiment.
Jobbing and reliable.
Well, that's terrible. I'm quite insulted. But anyway, David is clearly the front man, the Thank talent, you. The popular yep. poster boy that keeps the groupies hanging around the stage door. almost certainly destined to soar high and wide across the gaming podcasting scene before striking out on his own and consequently falling headlong into a spiral of ever greater outbursts, seeking publicity and trying to capture success but failing to recognise the important contribution that was made by his co-hosts. Eventually, bloating out on booze and snorting powder, he'll succumb to pimping out free-to-play mobile games and trying to push a self-promotional YouTube channel to try and maintain some relevance to video gaming.
I mean, I would agree with that point had I not turned every podcast that I've been on into gold. So, you know, it kind of... You know, I've been without these guys and it's worked, so that's the sort of counter-argument to that bit.
There's time yet. Time for it to all go wrong.
Anyway, fast forward 10 years and Matt and James will be there to dutifully pick up and dust off their old friend and resurrect the Computer Game Show for a farewell tour to its loyal and dedicated fan base of balding, podgy, middle-aged men.
Oh, I thought it
that
was
already the fan base, was that? Yeah, so anyway. Sean is a decent lead guitarist on a break from his other group.
Yes!
Decent, not like exceptional, but yeah, he's a decent guitarist.
Yeah, I'm all right.
That was from Matt Stokes. That was great. I enjoyed
Cheers,
that.
Cheers, Matt. Thanks for that. I think that summed us up perfectly. And I mean, it sounds like you're calling us the Beatles of the podcasting world. And I'd agree.
Wait, hang on. If we're the Beatles, are you Lennon or McCartney?
Well, come on. I'm clearly Lennon.
I'm not being
clearly
Ringo.
Lennon.
I'm not
fucking
being
McCartney. You're McCartney.
Well, Lennon, everyone thinks you sound, but actually you're a racist, homophobe cunt.
Yep. So that pretty much sums it up. Still rather be that than Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney did that song for Destiny. Dave.
Yeah,
and it
did.
Was dreadful.
Because he pretty much recorded it using an iPhone in the middle of like Oxford Street or something. Because you're like, oh, quick, 30 seconds of me just singing these words and give me
a
million.
Just hummed a few bars and then Bungie had to do the rest.
Yeah, go on, next email.
I recently found myself in that situation where you play a game you really care about, The Last Guardian, but got stuck a few times and had no other option but to look up a walkthrough guide. Two things. What is your thought process on coming to the decision to look it up? What does it take? How long does it take to be stuck on a puzzle before deciding there is no other way? Are you ever able to turn the game off and come back to it later? The problem with walkthrough is that it lists the areas and then you get a sense of how big the game is, which for certain games can be a bit of a spoiler. Does that make sense or is that just me? Seems bizarre how there is still no app that is able to easily pinpoint the area you're struggling with and take you straight to that bit without going through menus. What if you could take a photo of the screen with an app and it knows which puzzle area boss you're struggling with, then send you a direct hints, tip, solution as desired? That was Capone Adam.
God, that sounds so much more long-winded than going onto YouTube and scrolling to the bit. that you need.
I mean, Nintendo have tried this stuff. You know, like having like they've loads of recent games.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. But then I always found that a bit like you're talking about the sort of metal suit Mario in 3D World, or Luigi showing you where to go next. That stuff. I tend to avoid that stuff. Yeah, I am a walkthrough user on several occasions, and it's mainly. I know when to go to a walkthrough when I start to feel the frustration just bubble. And actually, that's a lie. It's not always frustration. Sometimes it's like, okay, I've tried everything I can come up with. Now I'm going to check a walkthrough. That's sort of the thought process.
Yeah, it's like that switch in your head flicks where you're like, do you know what? I've paid money for this. I want to enjoy myself while I'm a game wound up.
There's
games like, so like The Witness, for example, like that is so focused on the experience of being confused, but then figuring things out and that rush that you get when things click. So like, I would absolutely say don't ever look at a solution for a game like that.
Yeah, and I'd say the same for Inside, because very rarely go to a walkthrough on Inside. I think I did it maybe once or twice. Because, you know, I was getting to the point where I was completely stuck. But inside, I knew that was a puzzle platformer. So I would try and solve the puzzle a lot more than I would, say, other games. I can't think of an example where I was using a walkthrough. But, with other games, if I get stuck, I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. But with puzzle platformers, with puzzlers and stuff like that, I will sit there for a lot longer trying to work out what the answer is.
I think. Yeah. I mean,
I was going to say. I mean, for me, it's changed. I think as I've got older, I've got less time to play games. I'm much more likely to use them now than I did before because.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, last year you played a game, a very long game, that you pretty much looked for a walkthrough of every section of, didn't you?
I didn't need to. I had you guiding me, so it's fine.
Why did you admit to looking at least three times? And we all know that you don't admit to a full crime, you just admit to a bit of it to try and convince everyone that's all you did. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm the same. Whereas before I might have stopped playing and come back another time, the fact that I limited time, I'm not going to like waste an hour of like 2 hours on an evening just trying to work it out. Although some games like The Witness, I didn't look up any walkthroughs and went to another puzzle because those puzzles were really satisfying to actually get yourself. So games I've been stuck, like for instance, I was quite stuck on Robinson the Journey, not because things are difficult, just because they're really, really obtuse, and that just annoyed me. And I was like, oh, sod it, I'm just going to look for the, you know, try and work out what the developer was thinking, basically. Whereas things like The Witness, where there's a very definite system, and it's just a case of you getting your head around that system, I will wait a lot longer. And in the Witness's case, I haven't checked any walkthroughs and I've gone through to other puzzles, but yeah, often. If it's like a game like Robinson, I'll just, you know, go for a walkthrough because I'm not going to waste all my life trying to work out what the developer's thinking.
Here's a question, because I've noticed this a lot on various forums talking about The Last Guardian. People getting angry at people for asking where they are in the game and how long they've got left. Now, I'm definitely one of these people that like to know where I am in a game. And I'm kind of like that. I guess I'm a bit like that with films as well. I like to know, oh, right, I've got an hour left. I've got half an hour left. I don't know why.
Really? I wouldn't have done it in a film because, you know, how long is a film? An hour and a half, 2 hours?
I know what Dave means, though, because I've definitely been watching films and thought, like, fuck, this has been going on a while and they've got loads of stuff to resolve. Surely it's finished in, like, 20 minutes. But then checking the, you know, the running time, you're like, oh, no, it's another hour. It's fine.
Yeah. That's exactly it, and I wouldn't defend myself with that. Like I know Matt's argument, and I wouldn't be turning around and going, "No, you have to know," because I just don't think that's right. I wish I had it in me not to worry about that sort of stuff, and I guess I don't really worry about it. But there is part of my brain that's kind of like, right, what mission am I on now? How long have I got left to go? And I don't know why that is. I can't put my finger on it. It doesn't really affect the way I think while I'm playing, I don't think. It must be on some level.
I do it in games all the time because, I mean, I'm much for smaller experiences now because I can actually get through them and, you know, my gaming time is extremely limited. So, but for films, when I'm at cinema, the last thing I want to know is what the time is in cinema because I like being lost in not knowing when the film's going to end.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, with the cinema, I've got a completely different mindset because my phone goes off and I'm sitting in a dark room and I'm fully focusing on the film. But when I'm home at, like, just watching a film in the evening or whatever, for some reason I do like to hit pause every now and then just to check, see how long's left on it.
Don't you ever do that thing in the cinema, though, where you're like, you're watching it and then you're just thinking, now that stuff that happened at the beginning, that feels like it was ages ago. So it must be nearly finished.
It's when you're watching the last few weeks of Apprentice and then they flash back to the first week and you're like, I don't even remember that guy.
Who's that?
Same with Big Brother. That's the weirdest. When you get to the end of Big Brother, and you went, holy fuck, he was in it as well, wasn't he? Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah, I don't even remember Jin.
We'll never forget Jin. It's a solid brand name.
Well, better than the piss water.
But when you're on a night out, like we're just saying, can I have a gin and coke? Like, what are you supposed to say?
I said that exactly. I said exactly that to Joe, like with the branding of that gin. I just said, can I have a gin?
The
other one was way worse. The other one was terrible. Like, it was just like racist, awful.
Okay, cool. We're talking Apprentice chat now, which is ridiculous.
So, for the Apprentice cast.
Next email.
Okay, this is the second part of this is from Luke Summerhayes, but he already talked about Apollo Justice, so I'll move on to the next bit. It says, on Twitter you asked for underrated games of the year. Anywhere else I might mention Titanfall 2, but I'm confident you guys will give it the attention it deserves, Matt's protestations. Instead, I want to give a little shout out to Pony Island. It was released right at the very start of the year, and I wouldn't be surprised if lots of people forgot it existed. Brief, clever, and at times very funny, it deserves to be well up there.
I do not know what Pony Island is.
We need Michael on the show.
I own this.
Yeah, we do need Michael.
No, it's not. It's not that sort of game. It's like, oh, it's a cute game called Pony Island, and then loads of weird shit happens.
Well, like Frog Fractions.
I've not actually played it. It was like a quid in the last Steam sale, so I've got it, and I do intend to play it. But yeah, I know people who are big fans of that game. So.
Okay, well, maybe you can talk about it on a future episode of the Computer Game Show and give it the fucking credit it deserves. next email.
Okay, we've got tweets now. So these are actually from last week, but we can still do some because they're quite good. Okay. So if you want to tweet us, it's at Computer Game Pod on Twitter. The first one, this is from Agent Rooster, says, saw Shadow of the Colossus for the PS2 priced at £28 in CEX. What is the most you pay for a classic and what game?
Oh, shit. I don't think I've ever played like extra for a sort of rare or... Yeah, no, I've never done that.
I don't think I ever would. Like, there's nothing that I'm that precious about.
I would... definitely like to have a copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga for Saturn, and that last I checked was probably quite expensive. Actually, you know, so I've just historically got consoles, sold them, got a new console, whatever, or just, you know, often sold them, but now I'm sort of, I'd love to just buy like a Saturn and a Dreamcast and play old games, but no real stuff. But I'm starting to get into that mode. I'm like, I wish I hadn't sold everything. I mean, I'm happy.
See,
I
kept most of my Dreamcast stuff. I mean, until recently, I had a Dreamcast copy of Rez, which in the end, I needed money, and it was worth quite a lot of money. So
how
I sold
much did
it.
You get for it?
I think it's about 70 quid.
Fucking hell! Really?
Yeah, because it was the Dreamcast one, and it was like I don't think they released that many of them, like in Europe. Like the PAL release didn't get a huge release. And it was
wow.
Yeah, I do, but there's a lot of games for like Dreamcast I've still got that I just could never sell. Obviously, Shenmue and stuff like that, I just couldn't get rid of it.
I've got a Japanese version of Jet Set Radio on Dreamcast. Yeah, it's actually it's a gorgeous sort of little CD cover, a little sort of audio CD sized case. So yeah, it looks brilliant.
See, I think nowadays because so much stuff you can just get through streaming or you can, I don't really care so much about that now. Like if I wanted to play, like I want to play Shadow of the Colossus, but I probably will just try it on, you know, PlayStation Now at some point. You know, it's, I'm not going to try and find a copy in a shop.
Speaking of old games, like coming back like that, I played the demo of Parappa the Rapper. I don't understand why people are saying they've done nothing to the graphics because it clearly looks better, a lot better than it did back then. I probably ain't going to buy the full game, but I was thinking, could you imagine if they did a similar thing to Gitaru Man? Jesus Christ, would I be there day one? Oh my God. Please do that, Sony, because that game was too good. just for that. Mm-hmm. What was it, the one in the sky? That was the level. The one on the demo. Well, good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Okay, so next we've got, seeing as you're the official Titanfall 2 podcast, which is the best Titan? Favour Scorch myself.
Tone is the best Titan.
Tony.
Good old Tony.
I'm a Ronin lad.
Ronin. He seems to be the expert's choice, but I cannot pull myself away from Tone at the moment. I feel so at home with that man.
Mm-hmm. There's fuck all wrong with Ion, though.
Is Ion the sort of machine gun dude?
No, it's the very first one.
Right, okay.
Machine gun. No, Ion's the very first one with the shield and the sort of... It's not like it's sort of auto-fire, but it's kind of a shotgun. There's a bit of a spread to it.
Yeah.
It's just good all-rounder. Makes sense that he's the first one you use.
Yeah, I just, once I got into Tone, I was like, no, this feels like I'm home now. And I absolutely devastate people with Tone. It's insane. I mean, you saw it first and Saturday night. I was having an awful round and then ended up top of the league because I just, you know, so old Tone entered the arena and it was game over. That's what weirded me out about Chris, because Chris was playing as well. And, you know, that guy's obsessed with robots. And he went, oh, no, I just put it in guard mode. No, what are you doing? I was being polite and everything, but inside I was screaming. I have a word. Right, okay, yeah, cool. Next question.
Ms. Rangers says, has Matt tried VR porn?
Yeah,
of course he has.
I mean, I tried it before, but I've since tried on PSVR. It just doesn't work. It's a mess.
Whoa, you could do it on PSVR?
Yeah, of course you can.
Well, no, not of course you can, because it's like a Sony. How do you do it?
On the PlayStation Store.
You have to go to Pornhub certain websites, download files, put on a USB, and then put a USB in the computer, in the PS4.
Yep.
Oh, that's a bit too much effort, Matt. I mean, that's a bit.
I sort of lost erection by that point, but yeah.
but isn't it just 3D video rather than proper VR stuff at this point?
It's not even 3D. It's not even 3D. It's just like 360 video.
Oh, right. Okay. So who can, I mean, they've done some proper VR stuff though, right? There is that out there.
Currently, the media player on PS4 doesn't allow sort of proper 3D videos. It's just literally like 2D.
But you've tried stuff with Google Cardboard.
Yeah, but that was rubbish. Although that was definitely better than this, where it's basically like the people you're watching are like giants. And yeah, I mean, I finished the job, but it was tough.
Next question.
Yeah.
Okay, Christmas is soon. We all need to lay some logs and get some space from the family. What's your favourite gaming on the loo moment?
What do you mean? What's the best game to play on the bog?
Yeah.
I've got a game that I found that is fucking perfect for playing while having a poo.
Is it Threes, by any chance?
Threes on iOS. I would suggest you buy that game. It's good.
Do you know what game I've been playing recently? It's just had an update for the first time since 2013, and that's Tiny Wings.
Oh shit, really?
Tiny Wings got a random update after like for 3 years, and it added like some functionality for a new phone. Yeah, that game is so bloody good. I was obsessed with that game at one point. It just feels so good.
In a similar vein, Alto's Adventures, nice as well.
Oh, yeah, they've just teased a new one, haven't they? Alto's Odyssey. Yeah,
so have they? Cool. Up for that.
Okay. Next one we have is... you love it. Anyway, let's move on.
No awareness. I'm finishing every question, like every run of answers with, okay.
Go on. The other one, so I think, okay, these next three are addressed to us, yes. So the first one, this is to Sean. We've got the melanin deficiency and rabbit gimmicks have failed to catch on with the audience. What's next? Ooh.
That's it, mate. That's all I've got.
It is.
There's nothing. That's my personality.
Vitamins.
Rabbit gimmicks.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Forgot about that.
Love that. It's such a gimmick, having a rabbit.
Next tweet.
For Matt, we've got, Matt has playing in VR been commented upon by your family more than your usual gaming habits?
No, because I only game like when everyone else has gone to bed, so it's not really an issue.
Has your wife like just turned around and gone, what are you doing?
No, because she knows what she got herself into when she married me.
Fair point. Fair point. Next.
So then the next one says, James, as an adult and actual doctor, not medical, who loves Animal Crossing. Are you ever embarrassed by the infantilization of pop culture? No. Well,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I guess.
What does that mean?
I don't know, really.
So why did you answer? No. You said yeah, no.
The answer might be yes.
What was the... Like, if you didn't understand the question, James, just say, mate.
No, I think what he means is, like... Hey?
Are you trying to be the big man?
Absolutely, yeah. I am a big man. Too big. It's a bit of a problem.
I am bigger, badder man.
Okay, fine, let's skip over that then.
Who's your favourite Spice Girl?
It was always Ginger Spice for me.
Yeah,
really?
Same
baby?
Yeah. No.
Baby's the adult's choice. Yeah,
Emma Bunton.
But everyone, I mean, yeah, everyone has a Jerry phase.
Oh, yeah,
least.
No, I totally had a Jerry phase, but, I mean, can't beat a bit of Bunton. Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right, should we do one more tweet and then
that's
wrap it,
that's
up?
That's the last one.
Oh, that's it. It's good. Yeah. Right, excellent. Well, Matt, if people own an internet, but like if people pay for an internet service and they own a router and a phone and or computer, what should they do with those things?
They should go get on Internet Explorer and
okay, right, I've done that bit.
You go to twitter.com.
Don't try and hijack my joke. Let's get straight to the
just follow us on Twitter. We're at Computer Game Pod on Twitter. We love getting like feedback and stuff through the week, so give us a bell on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, we're on Twitch, we're on YouTube, where new episodes go up every week, on our YouTube channel, or you can email us. I've already said the email address, but it's thecomputergameshow@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter separately. To Dave is at David Turner's, Sean is at Captain Toss, James is JCA Farley, and I'm Matt Murray. A little bit of an update on Matt's effect. Yeah, I'm going to see what I can do. I've tested loads of stuff, but I can't seem to get streaming working without it being a blocky mess. But I guess I'll give an update on Twitter or next week's show.
Are we doing that at the end of the show now? We're just recapping shit we've already said. Oh, just an update as well. I'm not really getting on with The Last Guardian, but I might enjoy it later. And just an update for a show. Sean is really liking Let It Die. And just an update there for you. Thanks for living it. We'll catch you next week for the Game of the Year show. We hope you enjoy that. I'm worried about recording it. Let's go now. By all of us saying goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.